morning's message, Children of God, Children of God, coming from Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, 6th to the 31st verse, and as our scripture reading, it came from Luke 17th chapter, 20 to the 21st verse, we delve a little bit deeper into Jeremiah warning the children of God. As God always does when he warns his children, he also warns the world at large. The warning for the world at large is because God won't judge anything without a warning. He had given us time to turn to him. He had given the world, he had given even Jezebel a space to repent. God is a fair God, and God is in the midst of accomplishing something. And to help accomplish that, he had chosen us to help make man in his image and after his likeness. But we have to be adopted into that family, given of his spirit, which would empower us to be able to become those sons of God through faith and obedience to his word. As we look this morning at the children of Israel, God is about judging that nation, and also through that nation, the rest of the world would be blessed. The rest of the world would come into the blessings of Abraham through their obedience. But with lack of that obedience, there's a failure to do their job. Without doing that job, they get replaced. But the ones that he had destined to do that job will awaken and arise and go forth and do that job, and they'll shine bright. In that he'll create a new heaven and a new earth, but it'll be without the observation of the world, just like the world didn't see him when he destroyed the old world. So, as we look at the warnings to the children of God, he told them, the 6th verse, set up a standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is coming from the thicket, and surely, verse 10 says, our Lord God, thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said of the people to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind that, as we read in the book of Matthew, that shall purge his threshing floor. Along with that purge of his threshing floor, to wipe all evil from the earth and decimate the world, he gives his children a warning and warns them. As that time through Jeremiah, and he rose up all his prophets early to warn Judah, to warn Israel, to warn his people to turn back to me. You've backslidden, you went away from me, and you need to turn back to me. Forsake your ways. Forsake all that you do and turn back to me for salvation, because my word is sure. God's word is sure, and destruction is sure. And that's one thing man has always counted God. And Peter told him, God is not slack concerning his promise, but he's patient. He's not willing that any of us should perish. We've been studying about God as being forbearing and long-suffering. But that forbearing and long suffering has to figure into his time schedule. As the ones that was going to go on the ark, if they hadn't went in at the time God had told them, they'd have been right out there in the flood. If we don't escape hurricane areas, when the weatherman says it's going to come at about this time, it'll come up on us, and there's a possibility of no escape. There's a possibility of no escape at that time. And God told him, he says, stay not. Set up a standard, for I will bring evil and destruction. We see that evil and destruction coming upon this city. Crime is higher than ever in the city of Baton Rouge. It's a dark day in Baton Rouge, but it's bright for the children of God. We see that God's creating this city anew, and we see the promise that it has. We see that God's going to allow us to inherit this land that he had put us in this city. In this city, though it be decimated, though the foundations be shaken, God says through David, he says, I've never seen the righteous move, though. The righteous shall not be forsaken. That's why we have to forsake our ways. As this state has suffered from all types of natural disasters, all types of man-made disasters, all types of wicked men, and we see the darkness of this state in which it has to pay for the wickedness man had wrought in it. This wickedness, as I was reading the paper the other day, they have this guy that's going to be a PR guy. They hired him as a PR man for this man. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that were hired at a salary of $125,000. But just so that they could give him more, they gave him another position so that they could pay him $250,000 a year. Now, in this position that he created, this man created, he hired another man to pay him $12,000 a month. That's $144,000 a year. This is in a position that originally the man that holding that position, that's about $14,000 more than that position that the boss had. He held the one that hired him. Without this, this wickedness in this state can't prevail. This state is not going to be able to prevail like this. It has to be decimated. It has to be decimated at the city levels, just as he decimated New Orleans and it became a recovery district. He has to do it to the rest of the city. He has to do it to the rest of the state, and he's going to have to do it to the rest of the nation. It has to become desolate for him to accomplish his purpose. He has to purge the evil out. That's why he tells his people to return, be ye separate, come out from among them. Come out from among those of this state. Come out from among that wicked people. There are ones that was in the midst of this with this corruption. And now they feel hurt again, and it's continuing on. It's been continuing. They said that they were going to close C. Paul Phelps Correction Facility. The people in the Derrida area, all those areas, rural areas, say, well, that's going to decimate a lot of families that work at that facility. It's going to decimate some of the community. But this is the one you've been going along with this. See, but it's a dark day for many of people, even though the children of God, even though the whole state not feeling the destruction of the entirety of the state is coming. There has to be a changing of the guard. God said it wasn't going to be water, but it was going to be fire. It was going to be those that are in this religious state of being. The Antichrist. That's man-made. That religion, when states, cities, and nations begin to play with God, take God's name in vain and proclaim themselves as Christ-like, God-like. In other words, that they are Christians and calling on God's name. God asks for his name. He's not going to allow you to blaspheme in his name. He's not going to allow you to dwell in sin and continue to call upon his name. He says, those that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And they lay their devices with a lack of understanding of God. And it's playing and toying with a God that's going to judge them. As the nation goes astray, it's falling, and there's no propping up for it. At a national level, it's going to be just like Judah and Israel. It's going to lose its national identity. It's going to be decimated. Whoever becomes president, whoever the president, we're looking at the end as this nation is known. God has to start anew. That's the stone that crushes the 10 toes of that beast. That God has to raise up a people. And that's why God's children are turning to God, because they see others within this nation. They see even sinners within this nation standing with the righteous of God, bringing about his kingdom. You can see God's kingdom coming. It's among us. But if you're dwelling in darkness, you can't enter into that rest. You see, and people think that they can press their way in here by their works and things. See, but this is a spiritual thing, and God allows people into the church. It is God that purged the church. It is God's spirit. He said, see, John baptized, as you read that, it says unto repentance. You see, because there were a lot. John baptized, and the people say, have you seen, received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we've heard, hadn't even heard of this. He says, John baptized us to repentance. Well, they didn't obey John. And man doesn't obey. Because he told Jeremiah, I'm sending you to a rebellious house. I'm sending you to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. That's a rebellious house. They're not going to listen at you, because they wouldn't listen at me. It's a rebellious children God have called to all day long. They're rebellious. They rebel against God. So as this nation rebels against God, as they don't do these things against God, God has a time in which he allows the outer court to be trampled by the Gentiles. But there's a time that God puts the Gentiles under trial, just like it is at this time. We've read about it through one of God's servants, Nebuchadnezzar, who was a servant of God. His administration, I'm listening at Chuck Misler one time talking about this and read it. His administration was crooked. But Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. That's why God drove him to be as a beast, because he was following those. He was lifted up by pride. God had to refine him. God had to refine him just like he has to refine us. That's why we have to be long-suffering. That's why we have to endure. If you know you a child of God, you will have to be able to endure chastening. You remain under the yoke. And that's why he told them, after Hananiah broke the wooden yoke, Jeremiah made an iron yoke. And he said, this yoke is not breakable. This yoke of the Gentiles from Nebuchadnezzar is not breakable. See, because God took a Gentile bride. He took a Gentile bride. So it was going to be a Gentile king that was going to rule. That Gentile king was Nebuchadnezzar. His administration all passed away. God gave a complete time for this to take place, which was 7 years. He was cast out as a beast. The dew fell on him. He was put out. For 7 years, seven is a figurative number, and it's a number for completion, a number for perfection. God's going to perfect himself in you. God's going to bring you under all kinds of trials and tribulation, but he says, be ye perfect. Be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. It took a time for God to perfect Job, but as he said, Job was a perfect and upright man. He had to fine-tune Job, so he had to take Job through trial, tribulation. He had to allow him to where God purged all of that out of him that wasn't to be. He purges his children. As we see the world going through this purge, because the world is given, as just like Balaam, it had wandered, followed after the beast, which was monetary gain, which was the material things of this world. And we've seen with the Arab Springs, we've seen the dictators fall. We've seen them fall one by one. We've seen the collapse, and we know that God is at work because God set it up, kings and rulers, and he take it down, kings and rulers. But none of them, you see, they don't want to form after this nation because that's where the proselytizing started. God said that you proselytize one and you make him sevenfold the child of hell more than you are. A lot of times we get people in the religion and they become worse than we are. Because the way we are converting them is through humanism. It's lacking of the spirit. Listening to a preacher the other day, he was quoting something that one of Booth said, the man that had started the Salvation Army, about leaders that know not God, about leaders without the Spirit of God. What becomes of a nation with leaders that has not the Spirit of God? With rulers and preachers that have not the Spirit of God? That's why you see churches torn down. That's why you see ministers leaving the pulpits nowadays. Because God is working that work. Judgment is falling and it's starting at the house of God. That's why the dictators are falling. The problem looks like an exterior problem, but the problem is interior. It's from rottenness within. It's from rottenness within. It's a heart problem. The people need a circumcision. The people need circumcising. But with this circumcision, it's not of the hands. It's a circumcision that God has to wrought in us. And we see where God talks about his own children. He says, verse 22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. This young man, Ryan, went to New Orleans yesterday, the day before yesterday, to talk to the AARP Association. A lot of those older people see the traps and snares that some of the young people devise on their beds at nighttime. See, the wicked devise traps there. He said they're wise to do evil. They have these numerous facts and figures. They booed him at the AARP because he's been exposed. See, the wicked lay a snare. The other day, Chris Matthews was saying that this guy Romney came out and showed his tax returns for 2011. Well, he had an opportunity to put some of them in line in order, and he showed that year and he did a summary of the others, and I knew something was wrong at that time because according to his wife on a previous news interview that they wasn't to put out any more tax returns. But you see, with the wicked, as things crowd up on him to reduce pressure and heat from somewhere else where God is allowing pressure to come, he was trying to release the pressure where his own mouth had messed him up this week. He made two critical mistakes. And I'm part of that 47% that he was talking about. See, that's what's done in the dark, according to Ecclesiastes. Every secret thing shall be revealed. Someone or somebody had a chance to tape him making a secret recording. So he had to own up that because the tape didn't lie. He had made two other critical mistakes this week. And after the Libya debacle, and the other mistakes, and he have so many people jumping ship to allow some of the pressure to escape and to try to change the news cycle, he reduced these taxes, which could cause more blood in the water. That's an even bigger problem because now you're trying to throw us off the trail with that tax return. You see, people aren't ignorant. God doesn't make us ignorant to the devices of the devil. We see no cohesion in our city council. The Metro Council is at odds. They're trying to hinder. And they're just like the rest of the nation that's living in a time bubble. And they've grown nostalgic, just like the children of Israel were talking about the cucumbers and leeks that they used to eat in Egypt. The council are talking about turning this back at conservatism, and they're running all the young people away from the state, from the city, as the governor runs them away from the state. And then you have this conservative body trying to come in through this national party. And I was watching, I had seen or read something in the newspaper about this young lady that was on this movie. I think her name was Kerry Washington on this program, Slander or something. I hadn't watched it, but I'd gotten out of the shower when I was sitting down and talking to my wife and looking over this for today. And I said, well, that's that show. She was thumbing through it. And I said, well, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? And I turned it on a little of that. It was this older woman on there that was a senator or something, and she was going to be the vice president. She may have become the first president. And she was saying about her staunch Christian beliefs and that they thought that they could corrupt her and give her to lose her Christian roots and say things and do things that she didn't actually really believe in, and that she had a stronger belief in God than this. The guy had her enveloped, and the next scene was her on television telling this lie because it had reflected and showed in her own life what she had done for an 18-year-old daughter. Like I said, a lot of people camouflage and play with the word of God, and God will cause you to be exposed. It caused exposure. Now, this guy is corrupt. This president is corrupt. He's the weak link on there. And I was looking, and I was seeing the part that Kerry Washington played, but I seen her weaknesses. I seen that she wasn't as strong. It was the first lady who played the role. It was the first lady who knew that God gives us all a role to play. And from the foundations of the world, God had chosen us to be holy. God had given everybody a role to play. And she said, I've done my part. I've done my job as first lady. I've made sure he did this. I've made sure he did that. And she was strong in her part because she had stood up as the woman she should have been. She was like the Shunammite woman in the book of Kings that we had talked about. And she told her husband, you're not going to be weak and coward out on this. She told the woman, said, well, this is not the way this is going to go. This is the way this is going to go. That's why you need preachers to tell you, don't be weak. God doesn't like for you to quit. Paul said, I take no pleasure in those that give up, that resign to perdition, that give up and quit. That's why he didn't have confidence in John Mark. When things come up against you, don't quit. You hold in there. You be strong. You be strong. Don't care how the odds look against you. Both of them buckle. But she said, we're not going to buckle on this. We're going to stand up and hold up our faces. That's what we're going to do as children of God. We're going to stand up to God's word and stand and walk in it. No matter who don't walk in it. No matter who in our family don't walk in it. Who on our job don't walk in it. We're going to turn and follow after God. And through faith, help establish the law of God. A lot of people say, well, the world's going to hell in a handbag. God said it would. Why didn't you expect this much? No, the city council's not going to change. No, the politician's not going to change. But you see that God is creating a new creation. If you look at Jeremiah, he said, he looked and it was desolated. Even the birds had flown away. God is tearing up this world. That's why he gave him a hammer, because he was to tear down and destroy. That's what we should be doing. But we should see, as we're tearing down, God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. The preachers that were able to get this insight said they looked and have seen a new heaven and a new earth. If you get a new earth, you're going to have a new heaven. You will have to see things differently. You were blind, but now you see. When God comes into your life, you enter into his rest. You allow him to do his work. If you believe in him. You see, because God gets tired of this forbearing and long-suffering, as Jesus said, how long should I put up with this generation? there were ambiguities in what he was saying when he told them how long must he put up, because this guy had brought his son to the disciples to be healed. The disciples couldn't heal this son. See, the disciples were not rooted and grounded in the word of Jesus. Said this kind goeth out only by prayer and fasting. See, you got to be fully committed to God. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to turn from your ways. Now, we still don't know who he was talking to, though. That's what I said. You know, with the Bible, there's ambiguity in the Bible, because a lot of people try to figure out what country or nation Jeremiah is talking about in this destruction that's coming from the north. Well, it applies to now. What's going to do that in your life? The destruction could come from your wife. Samson, Delilah was Samson's Babylon. Delilah was Samson's Assyria. We don't know where destruction comes from. The destruction, he says, he's going to send a strong wind. It could be nature that destroys, because it's a lot of them that were crying behind Hurricane Isaac that they had lost all. It was a lot that the tornadoes hit in Kansas, Alabama, and throughout the nation. There were millions that's been dying over the times. Those were the judgments of God. If nothing happens outside of God. So those, the tsunami, God knows everything. God's a part. God's still working. We have to have confidence that our Father is the captain of this ship. He knows that I'm on this ship. And I got to stay in contact with my Father and move as he tell me to move. And whatever he brings up on me, if he say flee, I have to flee. And if he tells somebody else to curse me, as David said, let him curse David. God must have allowed him. God must have told him to do that. But it didn't change David's perspective of God. It don't matter what people say about you, it shouldn't change your perspective how you see God. See, it's all a matter of perception. How do you see these things? These were wicked people on this show. Now, I'm not saying any of them was angels. But Peter said, to the pure all things appear. So it didn't say we couldn't watch television. But you need to draw a spiritual example out of all things. You need to see God in all things. Because when he gave Nebuchadnezzar back to restoration, when he restored Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth chapter of Daniel, it was Nebuchadnezzar who told us how to worship God. It was Nebuchadnezzar that rose up, and God blessed Nebuchadnezzar and restored him back to his crown. This is Nebuchadnezzar writing, the fourth chapter of Daniel. The 34th verse. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. I bless the Most High. God is called God the Most High. He lifted his eyes up. See, God humbles us. He humbled Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was like a lot of us. He was lifted up by pride, but God was protecting him from something that in his ministration that he didn't see. God protects us from things we don't see from others. He keeps us from presumptuous sins. He keeps us from sins of omission, commission. He purges us. He had been a perpetuation. No matter what we've done, he's been patient, long-suffering, and forbearing with us. That's why we cry, Abba, Father. None of us are perfect. But he's still our Father, and we have to obey him. And he's going to give us the strength to do these things. So he says, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants in the earth. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking about the sovereign God in heaven and on earth. He says, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reasons return unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness return unto me. His kingdom, he says, return unto him. His glory, his honor, his brightness. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. It's like Job's friends sought unto Job. He said, I'll turn all nations to come in after you. See, if you would be that light, if you would walk in that light, men would come to you. God would cause your enemy to be at peace. He says, if I sit thou at my right hand, just sit at this position of authority, I'm going to do the work. I'll cause your enemy. I'll make your enemies your footstool. If you would just humble yourself under my hand, that's what I'll do for you. If you be obedient to me, be that child. But they are disrespectful to leaders. They're disrespectful to government. They're disrespectful and hurtful. They say malicious things to one another. As Nebuchadnezzar said, I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. God added majesty unto Nebuchadnezzar. And now I, as I said, the fourth chapter of Daniel written by Nebuchadnezzar. This is first person English. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways and judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He couldn't tell you where pride gets you. He's able to make those apologize that say they won't apologize. It's a lot of people think they're too rich, too proud, too dignified to say you're sorry, to say you empathize, to say you're wrong. See, you have to be able to confess your faults to get free. He who covet his sins shall not prosper. You're going to plan with words and playing with statements instead of saying, I was wrong, I missed, this was my heart, and it was right. You have to become as a little child, God says. And at the same time, he says, this is the 18th chapter of Matthew, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called him and set a little child in the midst of him and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Those offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. They're going to come. Make sure they don't come to you. But woe to that man by whom the offense is coming. See, when I was a child, I understood as a child. And as you're a child, if you become as a child, he says, to be converted, children go abhor evil. Did you know that? Children can get into things and you'll see them playing and toying about the next few hours. It's a wicked child that holds evil and vindictiveness in him. Most children are forgiving. You whip a child, the next day or something, they're hugging and going on. You have to forbear as a parent. You tell your children where you stand on something, whether they accept it or not. If they have a heart that God is working with, that tender heart starts to see and understand that parent. Just like we start to see and understand God, if our heart, if our intentions are bent toward God, God makes us see him more plainly and clearly through our tribulation. As Job said, now he had heard of God, but now he understands, since God had been working with him closely through these afflictions, through these trials. So the better you can understand God, you can characterize and show God to somebody in yourself. But if you have bitterness, hatred, if you have evil speaking of one another, you don't catch children doing that. You would have to teach that to children. Now, children do have self-centeredness in them. Children do have covetousness in them. And that's why he say his children are sottish children. And Jeremiah said they're sottish children. They're silly, stupid, unlearned. That's why he told, he said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. You know, a lot of people work hard, but they have no reasoning and rationale. You know, there, some people say you're either born with a strong back or either with good sense. See, the God had chosen some people to hold different positions. That's why it's the church is like a body. Some people are designed to be the finger or the little toes. You need that little toe. You need those big toes. You need your ears. Everybody's not an eye or a nose or a mouth. See, that's what the guy's wife was saying. She had to play a role to play. Her role was to push her husband and to become president for him to be a strong man. That was her role. She was doing her role. Satan does his job. God brags her. He says, how about Leviathan? Who can handle him like this? Who can do this with him? You can't beat that devil. Only God can do that. Jesus Christ is. That's why Michael, the archangel, said, the Lord rebukes you. See, self can get you involved to make you think that. That self, you have to humble yourself and rest in God. Let God fight this fight. You see, pride comes out. Why you want to be president? Why you want to be pastor? Why you want to be boss of this job? See, and if it's for selfish intentions, motivations, and ambitions, pressures to show what you are under pressure. Like I say, this woman that I had turned it there to see, and the guy, the president, both of them wasn't the strong one. It was the president's wife. I'm on the Adjustment Bureau, and that's why I didn't agree with the whole trip. Because I think the men were right with the Adjustment Bureau that Matt Damien wouldn't be all he would be with the woman he this woman that they were trying to stop him from marrying, because she would have been enough for him. And he wouldn't have that drive. See, that's why we have to have God as the object of our faith. Jesus Christ has to be the object of our faith. That's why we can't make people our gods. You make your wife your God, your children, those gods can die. They can change. A lot of husbands and wives change after they get married. A lot of children grow up and the children change. All you've invested in that child, and that child grow up to curse you to your face. You see, that's what Satan was trying to make Job do. See, we have to not be childlike in understanding. That's why he says, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways. We have to put away bickering and dispute. That's all a part of turning from self. All those are devices to protect and keep self. So to turn to God, to be saved, to be part of that remnant that was going to be saved, you have to not walk after the world. You shall have peace. Verse 10 says, then said, our Lord God, surely thou hast deceived this people. Well, those people had allowed themselves to be deceived through self-deception of thinking themselves more than they were. That's why he says, turn to me and be washed. Have your heart washed. And this washing that God does, Verse 14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall vain thoughts lodge within thee? A lot of people thinking, I'm going to do this when I get older. Some of them grown men and still in a dream world. You'll never have that six pack. You'll never be president of that company. You'll never drive that car. Why don't you make the best of the world that you're in? Why don't you wake up and be content with such that God had given you? You see, that's childlike. They talk about that in Jude. These are filthy dreamers. In other words, God's been given you a wife, and you're dreaming of thinking about this other woman. If I had her for a wife, you're not doing nothing with the wife you have. What if God moved that wife and you get this other wife a husband, and that wife a husband is no better than that? I wish I had the wife I had. I wish I didn't have a wife. See, you were better off. You just didn't know. God was protecting you from yourself. You don't know what you need and what you want. That's why you have to be content with what God gives you. A lot of children, I wish he was my daddy or my parents or whatever, and they despise their parents. That's why you have to be careful of what you're doing. How did you sow seed? The parents can't turn the children against one another in the midst of a divorce or separation. If the grandparents talk evil of the parents to the children will be going to be disrespectful to those parents. And then when the grandparents don't jump through all the hoops they want to do, they're going to be disrespectful to those grandparents. And it was the grandparents, if they'd have mind their business in the first place, it wouldn't have been this way. You see, that's how evil seeds are sown. The devil causes us to do things and put others down. We shouldn't be speaking evil of others. That's tale-bearing and gossiping. All these things are childlike. We should be helping make man in the image of God, in the likeness of God. So it's religion that does that. A lot of people get into religion and don't know that God protects religion. Whatever religion it is, because if the world's been here and it's been all those different religions, and you'll notice that a lot of them have some of the same grains of truth in them, so that there's no perfect one. You don't think Christianity has a lot in it that has zealots running around here with God-like complexes? How many evangelists or televangelists think that they are God's gift to men or women and that they should get every dime, that they should have jets, planes, all kinds of luxury automobiles and live in the best and the finest while their congregation is like in Michael and Joel and Amos, that they're the sheep, that they've been picked the hooves of the sheep. That they've been fleeced the flocks with their tapes, with their messages, that the gospel should have been free, and you've laid this burden on the flock because you are hireling and you preaching for your luxuries. God has to separate them. That's within Christianity. That's within Christianity. So don't talk about this man's religion and cause problems over here. You get the beam out of your eye. If you in Christianity and you do right as God calls you, told you to do and had chosen you, men will see that and they'll be drawn unto Jesus Christ. But if you have to force them, if you have to make them, that's not God. God does that work. You let God does the work. See, because you want to hear preachers telling you something nice, peace, peace, and you're wonderful and you, everything's going to be good. No, Jeremiah said, God's prophets are doomed mostly. They preached judgment. And he said, look, you know what they have? I heard a council and the whole throne of God was set. And God had said, how am I going to get Ahab killed in battle? Look in the book of Deuteronomy and you'll see that God says, let me send this false prophet over here to see if they're going to listen to this. He sent that false prophet to see was you going to love the Lord thy God. He allowed that false prophet to come in there. He's going to do the same in this latter days. He's going to send such a strong delusion that if you hadn't purged your heart, you're going to believe a lie. You will heap the teachers having itching ears to seducing spirits. And he says, all Ramah Gilead should fall. The Lord shall, who shall persuade Ahab to go up and fall at Ramah Gilead? And one of the of this man and one, but another spirit came and said, I'll be a lion spirit in the mouth of his prophets. See, it had lion spirits in the mouth of Hananiah, because they said Jeconiah was going to get out of prison and come back from Babylon and set up the kingdom. That was why Jeremiah was preaching. And that's the one that punched Jeremiah. And the people were listening at him. But he had a lying spirit in his mouth. So, now what happens? That you cause yourself to err. You know, Jeremiah, if we look at the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, we'll see where Jeremiah comes around, and as his ministry goes in, he starts to see that he was deceived. You remember I said just now, he said he had deceived the people. Now Jeremiah see that this thing was him, that it was him not wanting to be diligent for God. He didn't want to do the work at that time. It was too much coming up against him. So he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I am and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocked me. But see, that may happen, and by you trying to avoid that happening, you thinking you should live another way, but God has you right where he wants you at. Be content there. His grace is sufficient for you. So he says, for I spake unto, and I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, because this was what the word of God was doing. He says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. He was weary of holding back. That don't hold back. Become it. Whatever's in you trying to get out, that God, that inner man, let it out. He said it was like fire shut up in his bones. Don't be converted. Enter into that rest. You're scared. Right now, a lot of them in the church not becoming all God had wanted them to become, because you're going to have to leave somebody behind. You will have to go against your family. He says that he that don't hate mother, father, sister, or brother, or his own life more than me is not worthy of me. You got to not be able to see this. You got to walk by faith. When Jeremiah seen this and start releasing it, he can understand God. See, you trying to make sense of this. Your thoughts are not like his thoughts, and your ways are not like his ways. But be as a child, he said, to become childlike, you become fully dependent upon that parent. Become fully dependent upon God. You don't see your children running around here, oh, how are we going to pay the light bill? We ain't going to be able to pay the light bill. We got car notes. The child is not worried. The parent supplies it all. God is your supply. Just be obedient to God. He'll supply you every need. He's going to take care of you. Have comfort in him. As he was casting out this man's devils, he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's where you need help at, is with that part of God that you don't believe. But his word is sure, and it'll come to pass. So you have to have faith in the word of God. You have to walk in God's word. If you're growing in grace and you're growing in faith, as Jesus grew as a little child, he became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. And all things are possible to those that believe. If you have that little bit of faith, if you have it as a grain, you can say to this tree, be thou moved. You have to realize that I'm a child of the King. We're children of God. We're into his rest. Now you're conscious of who you are. You're no longer prodigal. You go, wait, you didn't woke up. I'm in the pigsty. What am I doing? I'm begging and pleading. I'm in bondage to the things of this old world. Let me pull this off because my father owned the cattle on a thousand hills. All of them are here. This whole world, what am I doing in bondage to the world? What am I doing in bondage to anybody else? What am I worried about how I'm going to make it? Why am I worried about even my own life? Why am I worried about who will do me something? Why am I worried about anything? Because worry in itself is a sin. Why am I worried about anything? The lilies of the field, they toil neither spin. The birds of the air. And I'm more than any of these. I'm a child of the King. You know, all of this was because I was asleep. I was sottish. I was dumb. I was childlike. I must put away these childlike feelings. I got a father that's waiting to run to me and grab me when he see me turn to him. He's waiting for me to get that he wants me to inherit. He wants you to inherit here on earth. He wants you to walk in the kingdom. All of this is yours. If you would just wake up, the kingdom of God is right here among you in this life. And greater things can you have. Greater things can you have. Enter into that rest. Don't BS the children of Israel. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. God was not happy with them because they didn't trust in it. You got to see this old world passing away. You got to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You got to rise up out of here today and walk in the newness of life. You got to realize who you are now. You got to start walking with a glide in your stride. You got to start making people respect you by you respecting your father. And as you respect your father, he's going to make your enemies be at peace. All those that mock you and talk about you, they're going to become your footstool. If you would just listen at your father, stop believing in yourself, stop believing in the world. Circumstances have no bearing on those of the kingdom. Because my father's in control. It's finished. It was finished from the foundations of the world. If you don't believe that he was going away to prepare a place for you, your heart will be troubled. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Because he gave you a heart that's a heart after his. David was a man after God's own heart. We need to be we need that heart. Jeremiah says, bowels, his mind, he was all out of joint. See, but you need to not be like that. You need to be able to go to sleep like Jesus in the midst of the storm on the boat. You need to have peace. Let not you mind be troubled about what's going on in the world. It's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines. He said, but it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thine dwelling. Hold your head up. Your father's the king. You worship him in spirit and in truth. No man's going to take that spirit from you. If it's just me and him. Woman, you don't sound like my wife. You see, you might have to give that pep talk I said that woman gave. You have to say, look, you know who you are, what role we got to play. You know what we got to do here. Let's get this thing together and get this show going. It was the woman on the parent trap will say, let's get this thing on the road. Stop being as women. The Bible says the men was as women. That's what's wrong with this state. The men is as women. You let one man, and you notice how they talk about Satan. Is this the man that did this? This guy that's scared of his own shadow, of the nation? This guy that's the biggest liar, and you can see that he's not a man with a spine or a backbone? Just right. He said it with his own words. If he's not worried about that 47%, that 47% sure shouldn't be worried about him. We would, if he was the president, we would give honor to whose honor is due. But we would keep our distance from him. Daniel worked in the palace. Obadiah worked in Ahab's palace. But I'm sure he wasn't catering to Ahab and Jezebel. That when the hammer dropped, the hammer dropped. He was doing his job. If you got a job to do, you do your job God had given you. You work as unto the Lord. Let's get this thing on the road. If you go preach, preach. If you go do whatever you're doing, do it unto the Lord. And wherever the chips fall, let them fall. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord God, as your children, we're listening for your voice. We're straining, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit is saying on the church. Lord God, we are waiting for you to anoint our eyes that we can see how to walk down here. You know, you direct our steps. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We are those children this morning, Lord God, and we want to be led by your Spirit, Lord God. We want to crucify that old man. We rising up to walk in the newness of life. We trust in you. We cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father, and it's at your hand that you will give us more of your Spirit. That you will strengthen us and that we will run and not faint. We will walk and not be weary. We will mount up with eagle wings. We will, all these things that your word says we capable of, we believe. We will walk therein. This is already done. The show is over with. We know who won. You won. And we know you've seen Satan fall from heaven as lightning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.